The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
We got news on two fronts involving Native American nicknames in sports. Today, the Washington Redskins have announced that they have retired their nickname, but we don't have any word on what the new name will be, while the Atlanta Braves say they've decided not to change their nickname but are going to take a close look at their Tomahawk Chop fan celebration. So, Shannon, are you surprised that Dan Snyder finally made the decision to change the name in Washington?
No. And, Skip, I said it when it came down and we started talking about who was requesting that he change this name. I said, Skip, it won't be long now. Because you look at the FedEx, Pepsi, Nike request a name change. Mm-hmm. Amazon say, we're going to stop selling your merchandise. Mm-hmm. Walmart, Target says, yeah, we're going to stop selling your merchandise also. Skip, he had no choice. So no matter how much, Skip, let me pull this up right quick, Skip. Because I wrote this, because Daniel Snyder, he like, Skip, you remember what he said? He wrote said this, I think it was like May of 2013.
Yep.
We will never change the name of the team. As a lifelong Redskin fan, and I think that Redskin fans understand the great tradition, what it's all about, what it means. So we feel pretty fortunate to just be working on next season. We will never change the name, and that's simple. Never. You can use caps.
He put it N-E-V-E-R, all caps.
Yeah. A cap, yep. But never a cap.
Mm-hmm.
Skip, no business can afford to lose $50, $100 million a year in advertising over an extended period of time without it having long-term ramifications. And that's what, and FedEx says, if you don't change the name, we're taking our name off the stadium. It's as simple as that.
Yep.
And so he had no choice. Skip, he fought it because the people in the beginning that requested it were fans. And he's like, y'all gonna come to the game anyway, so, and I give y'all a couple of months, and y'all forget all about it. We win a game here or there, yep. And you'll be cheering us on again. But when these heavy hitters said, you know what, change it or else, he had no choice. He thought about it. Well, you know, we're gonna look into it. We're gonna do it. What you need to look into? You have a name that people deem is offensive, that's derogatory, and the Native American says it's a slur, it's racist. Okay, what do you need? What internal investigation do you need to give? Look at to say, so is it really that? They said it, move on. So, Skip, I am not surprised. Now, I might be a little surprised that it happened so quick. Skip, we're not even 2 weeks. And they're like, yeah, we got a new name.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not surprised in the least that it happened, because when these, Skip, this is almost $1 trillion in corporations value. And they say, you need to do something with this name or we got to go.
Yep.
He had no choice. And guess what, Skip? All that being said, it was the right thing to do.
It's been the right thing to do for years and years and more years. I have run out of air on national TV saying this is just wrong. No matter how you look at it, whether you consider it just an all-out racial slur,
right,
or just a derogatory sort of defamatory term,
correct,
used toward Native Americans,
mm-hmm,
that goes way back to the days in which we, as white people, white settlers, white government, declared war on the Native Americans,
right,
it's just wrong to use it as the derogatory or racial slur, mm-hmm, nickname of a National Football League team in our nation's capital. I can't make that up,
mm-hmm,
but it happened.
Right.
And you know the story, and I don't want to go too much back. The original owner, George Preston Marshall, mm-hmm, founder of the pro football team. This was back in Boston days. They were the original. They were called Boston Braves because the baseball team was Boston Braves that,
right,
they shared a stadium with.
Right.
Then they moved to Fenway, and they shared occupancy with the Red Sox. And George Preston Marshall, who turned into one of the great bigots in the history of the National Football League, said, wait, let's change
Well, he was already
nickname.
That. He just exposed himself once he gave that name.
Yeah, but later he was the last to integrate. Yes. 1962 it took him to.
Yep.
He said, how about, let's see, Red Sox. Let's go from Braves to Redskins. Well, wait a second, that's derogatory. So he goes out and hires a coach who has some sort of Native American ancestry to try to sell it to the populace. And it doesn't work there, at least it didn't sell.
Right.
And they moved the team to D.C., and you know the rest of the story. Mm-hmm. So the reason I'm pleasantly shocked by this change so quickly, to your point, is because I went through that period in 2014, in which we talked about it every day, all day on television, till I couldn't talk anymore about it because it looked like we had reached another turning point. They were going to lose their trademark. The threat was, we will take away your trademark if you don't change your nickname.
Right.
This is 7 years ago and then 6 years ago as it kept going on and on.
Right.
So Dan Snyder went on a national campaign visiting tribal chiefs from D.C. all the way to North Dakota. And he gave reportedly about $4 million to Native American causes. And he came back and got some of his former players to become his mouthpieces. Mm-hmm. And one of them, Chris Cooley, came on the show I used to do on ESPN. Right. And just beat the table about how the Native Americans are not offended by this. And then they got backed up by that Washington Post poll. Remember that?
Right.
9 out of 10 Native Americans surveyed.
Right.
It was 504 total out of about 5 million that we have in our nation. 504, 9 out of 10 say, we're not offended.
Well,
they were older.
Did they come from the tribe that got that $4 million? Because it was reported, Skip, that he gave that one bulk sum.
He did.
And has given nothing since.
And you're probably right about that. But he kept campaigning, we're honoring Native Americans with this nickname. Well, wait a second. What's the origin of it? I know I grew up watching what were called cowboy and Indian movies.
Right.
And that was about as derogatory a term as you could use. Those low-down, no-good Redskins, we're going to get them, right? Well, come on. You can't call a pro football team that.
And here's the thing. Skip, if you're from outside the culture, you don't get to determine what's a term of endearment.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get to, well, I'm not Native American, but I think it's a term of endearment, so I'm going to call you that, and it's going to be that.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get to decide. The culture from within decides what is a term of endearment.
Right. I'm with you. So then what happened in 2014? We kept waiting for the new change.
Right.
It got hung up in court, and it hung, and it hung, and it hung, and it went away.
It disappeared.
And he had friends in very high places because he's in D.C. He's in the nation's capital.
Yes.
And now I'm pretty sure he has another friend in a very high place.
The highest of places.
Speaking of chiefs, this is the commander-in-chief, right?
Correct.
And I was assuming that back by the commander-in-chief right now, he would sort of pay lip service, we're considering changes, and then kind of hope that the Black Lives Matter movement sort of blows over and quietens down, and then he could slip it back under the door again. Oh, we decided it's still okay.
Right.
Right?
Right. He tried.
He tried.
The president came out and said there's nothing wrong with that name. It's a term.
Okay, but to your point, I just read last night that there was a letter signed by 87 investors and shareholders with a total worth of $620 billion. This letter was sent to FedEx, PepsiCo, and Nike asking them to stop doing business with the team unless that name was changed. Well, now money is not just talking, it's shrieking, right? And Dan Snyder is getting his ears just pierced by the shriek where he says, uh-oh, now I'm really in trouble. Mm-hmm. And obviously, one of his minority investors is the FedEx president, and that's the naming rights on the stadium.
FedEx Field.
Okay, you're going to lose the naming rights? Well, you could probably say, well, I'll find somebody who will do it. But after a while, it started to look bad, and then it went to worse because this is what's happening with this country right now. This country is just in a new mood, and it's a great new mood of, hey, that's got to stop.
Got it.
And it started with all the racist symbols and racist behavior. Mm-hmm. No, we're calling you out. We're taking that down.
Right.
It's that time. And then we turn to the Native American. Well, wait a second. Well, that's the most glaring example of racism against Native Americans, correct, to me, mm-hmm, as far as a big public glaring example,
right,
well, it's like taking that statue down. Let's take that one down, right, too, right?
Yeah, and they should skip it. I think the thing is that Daniel Snyder started to realize if it doesn't make dollars, it doesn't make sense. C-E-N-T-S and S-E-N-S-E.
Yep.
It didn't make sense to him, Skip.
Okay.
And they say money talks, but cash screams. So you're talking about $620 mm-hmm billion. That's what these companies were,
yep,
worth. And some of these were, mm-hmm, you know, FedEx had his name on the building. What are they paying, Skip? $15, okay, $20 million a year? Pepsi probably was in the building. Nike selling their merchandise. Do we need to mention anything about Amazon? Jeff Bezos worth about $200 billion. So he had no choice. I get it. Now, if he'd lost his copyrights, he probably would have did that earlier, because you and I could have been making Washington shirts and making money off it, and he didn't want that.
Right.
So now he's forced to do this. He has no choice.
Yep.
Now, I was waiting for the other owners to come out, but, you know, they wasn't going to say anything. They was like,
I mean, maybe they did behind the scenes. We don't know.
When Nike and Pepsi and FedEx and all these other came out, he didn't have no choice.
Okay, quick thought on Tomahawk Chop. Is that the next thing that should go?
No, the Braves, all that should go. I think Cleveland is probably going to be the next one to change their name.
I would agree with
that. But Skip, what's the Tomahawk? Because what do they do, Skip? The sound that they make when they make the chop. I don't get it. I will keep the name and do away with the chop. So I want to know, how do you prevent that, Skip? Mm. How do you prevent that in the stadium?
I don't know. You just have to make it an edict. You'd have to make it very public. This will not be tolerated anymore. And they would have to look to throw fans out who tried to start the chop. And after a while, maybe people would just abide by the new rule and just stop it, because they'd be ashamed. Because they should be ashamed,
yes,
of taking the tomahawk chop as a symbol. And remember, it started, I'm pretty sure, at Florida State,
yes,
University back in the 80s. Mm-hmm. They are called the Seminoles.
Right.
Okay. Where did the tomahawk come from? Well, it can't. It's to me, it's a racist symbol, or it's a sad symbol, mm-hmm, of the white people coming into this country, government settlers, and just declaring war on all Native American tribes all over this country. Mm-hmm. And some of the early wars were fought in the state of Florida,
right,
against the Seminoles. And guess who led the charge? The great General Andrew Jackson, who would soon become President of the United States.
Right.
And this went on his record as a big triumph.
Mm-hmm.
He defeated the Seminoles in the state of Florida.
Right.
And then you know what happened, because we've spoken about it. They became one of the five civilized tribes. Well, they were civilized because they got crushed. They,
right,
got defeated.
Right.
And they were forced, along with four other tribes, to march all the way to what was then called Indian Territory, mm-hmm, state of Oklahoma. Oklahoma means red man. Mm-hmm. And forced to relocate. 10,000 people died on the march. It's, right, called the Trail of Tears.
Right.
Well, that's such a pathetic legacy.
Skip, it's not hard to beat somebody if you got firearms and they got bow and arrows.
Right, right.
I mean, that's why America wins so many wars. We have so much more artillery than anybody that we're fighting against.
We just had so much more might.
Right.
We had numbers.
Yes.
And yet, they fought back.
Of course.
Did they? And once they got guns and horses, they fought back as hard as they could fight, and it went on for years.
Yes.
And there was a lot of bloodshed on both sides.
Yeah, they ambushing. They know the, okay, the landscape. They know the scape, okay, of the land. So they were, you know, ambushing and guerrilla warfare, rightfully so.
So the tomahawk chop was from the war that they lost, a war they, you're always talking about how the South lost.
Right.
Well, the Native Americans didn't start the war. We did.
Right.
Okay? We also finished the war.
Right.
But this is a symbol of the bloodshed,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Come on, it's just a bad idea. And remember when Dion then got drafted by the Falcons,
yeah,
and started to play for the Braves, mm-hmm, I think he suggested it first, mm-hmm, to Braves people, you should try this. And what did they accompany it with on the organ? It's a Native American war chant, that song, you know, I don't want to sing,
yeah,
it, I have to pay
I
for
know
it.
Exactly,
you know what,
yeah,
that goes along, that sort of, mm-hmm, starts it, mm-hmm, and fuels it. It's disrespectful to their culture. So remember, that is used by the Braves. And I don't have a problem with the Braves nickname. That is honoring,
right,
who they were.
Right.
They were literally brave.
Right, yeah.
And yet Indians needs to go, but definitely the chop there. And guess where else? Kansas City.
They're gonna revisit the Chiefs.
Got it. And I don't know if they'll revisit the nickname or,
yeah,
the chop.
I'm trying to think. I don't think they do.
They do the chop.
They do?
Yes, they do. I think it needs to go.
Maybe because we beat them so bad all the time, Skip, I guess they didn't chop in.
Maybe.
Maybe that's what happened, Jenny.
Yep.
Makes sense.
No mercy.
The latest reports out of Dallas are that Dak Prescott and the Cowboys are not close to getting a long-term deal done. Former Pro Bowl defensive back D'Angelo Hall said he believes Dak is on the same level as Carson Wentz, Kirk Cousins, and Jared Goff. And since those quarterbacks are all in the low 30s, Hall said Dak would be, quote, extremely happy if he ended up getting $35 million a year. So, Shannon, does D'Angelo have a point?
I'm going to disagree with D. Hall for the simple fact, Skip. The thing that he failed to mention, yes, they are in the low 30s, but all these guys, with the exception of Cousins, had time on their contract. You look at Jared Goff and Wentz. Both of these guys got security with 2 years left. Dak says, so where's my security? I got no leads left on my deal. You see, Skip, they can't prorate it. Okay, we did four-year deals, okay? Each guy did a four-year deal, which makes it a six-year deal. Dak Prescott says, I'm completely free. Kirk Cousins got 84 fully guaranteed $1 million because he was totally, totally free. Mm-hmm. He get to the last year of that deal, they gave him two more years at $66
million. They did.
Fully guaranteed. So over 5 years, first Cousins is going to get $150 million fully guaranteed dollars.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, Dak, like, well, wait a minute. What would Mahomes, Skip, if Mahomes had no years left on his contract? He'd have got more than 45. He'd have got 60, 65. But because he had 2 years left, and theoretically Kansas City didn't have to do anything for 5 years because they had him at this year, the fifth year option, three years of tags, they say, you know what, Mahomes? We'll give you some security. You give us some flexibility. Dak says, okay. What y'all want me to do? Y'all want me to give y'all some flexibility, but where's the security when I had to play this last season out? Mm. Where was that? So Dak's like, nah. How about we split the difference? I'm not saying I'm my homeboy. I'm saying I'm better than Russ. You can argue that, debate that. We can. Split the difference. $40 million. Mm. That's what I'm looking for.
Mm.
Can you interest you in that, Jerry? And plus, it's gonna cost you more now. Cost you extra 15 because you ain't said Black Lives Matter. The longer we go, that cost, the price going up, Skip.
Okay, first of all, to your point, this isn't about 4 years or 5 years. In the end, this is about 30-something million or 40-something million. Dollars talk.
Yep.
Years are fine. You can go back and forth. I know there's been a lot of talk about, well, my homeboy took 10 years. Dak, you should at least take half of that, take five. Not the issue on the table. And let me say up front, before I launch into all this, nobody has defended and supported Dak Prescott any more than I have sitting right here in this seat against the hate coming from across the table, the cowboy hate that filters down onto Dak Prescott. But I can't defend or support what's happening right now, except to say that I'm hoping against hope that in the next 48 hours, Jerry's longtime mantra, which he first said to me in 1989, which was deadlines make deals. He said it from the start.
Yep.
It's what he learned in the oil field, the oil and gas industry. Deadlines make deals. When it comes to push, shove, which way are you going to go? Hold your feet to the fire. Yes or no? Deals get done. So I'm hoping they go right to the 11th hour, the last hour, and somehow there's some little compromise on both sides.
There's going to be a lot of thawing needs to happen, Skip.
Okay, a lot of thawing because a lot of this has gotten personal.
Yes.
And it's bordered into anger and bitterness toward each other.
Yes.
And I think Jerry's a little miffed at Dak, and Dak's probably mad at Jerry. Mm-hmm. And so now there's bad blood that has brewed now for months.
Right.
This has been going on for over a year. Mm-hmm. Should have been done a year ago.
Correct.
Thought it was done going up to the start of the season. Do you remember what happened? And again, I hark back to that Yahoo report. Jerry said the day of game was right after the game.
Yeah.
Opening day game at Jerry World. Big victory over the Giants. Dak played great, had a QBR of 94 in that game. Just lit it up. But as Shannon said the next day, it's the Giants. That night, Jerry said, a deal with Dak is imminent. He had just gotten one done with Zeke. And I told you the day Zeke signed, got 6 years, $90 million. We may talk about that later.
Okay.
I said, that's it. Doors are open. The skids are greased. Here comes Dak down the pike. They're going to get both their two stars signed, and here we go as a big springboard into the emotional springboard into the season.
Right.
Didn't happen. Jerry says after the first game, it's imminent. Imminent? Somebody said, Jerry, meaning what? Days. That means we're going to get it done within days. Well, that would mean before game two, nothing, nothing, nothing. Right. They go to Washington. He lights it up again. Shannon says on Monday, bad team. Then game three, back at Jerry World. He lights it up again, and there's no deal. And Shannon tells me, garbage. It's Miami. It was the Dolphins. So Dak has an average QBR in the first three games of 90 on a scale of 0 to 100. Led the league after three games. Yep. Shannon said, nope, not buying it.
Nope.
And Jerry's saying, I'm not buying it. And guess what the agent told Jerry? You better buy it because the deal just changed. We bet on ourselves, and now the dollars changed. A lot of times, as you well know from your many negotiations, you might arrive at an agreement on the dollars, but now there could be this or that. Yeah. Or this. There are a lot of caveats to the deal.
Yeah.
You got to cross the T, you got to dot the I, and that's what needs to get done over the last couple of days.
Right.
But Jerry thought that in the big picture, the dollars
we had the
been
money. We had the money.
Upon.
Now we work on the years, but
correct.
We got the money.
And I'm pretty sure. Not completely, but by all reports, it was around $36 million a year. And I don't know if it was 4 or 5 years. I don't know. Probably five at that point. 36 for five. At that point, it would have made him the highest paid quarterback or player in football. But we knew what was coming down the pike quickly.
Right.
Mahomes and now Deshaun will come, we think, pretty soon. Right.
Correct.
And so the agent for Dak is saying, it's Todd France, CAA, is saying, hey, we need to shoot the moon here. We need to shoot for what Mahomes is going to get. And they projected probably and had an educated guess of 45, and they were correct.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know exactly what they're asking for. 42, 43, somewhere in the low 40s so they can be in the ballpark when the Mahomes deal got done.
Right.
Okay, is he deserving? Has he earned the right to be in Mahomes' ballpark?
No, come on down.
Okay, well, I don't think so.
No.
Even I don't think so. And I know Jerry doesn't. And once you jerk the numbers rug right out from under him, the money rug, listen, he is.
Well, Skip, here's the
thing. He's got a bad temper.
If you're in the contract negotiation, you shoot for the stars.
Mm-hmm.
If you land on the moon, you're pretty happy.
You're pretty happy.
So, so Dak says, okay, I'll shoot for the stars. 45, you know, because there was a report that says that fifth year he wanted to be 48-something million dollars. Mm-hmm. And you're like, there's no way. And come to find out, 5 years from now, $48 million might be a bargain.
Okay. I don't know if it'd be a bargain, but you could say it'd be fair pay.
I think the thing is, Skip, is because Wentz and Goff gave up 2 years, they got the security that they wanted.
They've been making their money for 2 years.
Yeah, Skip, they were first-round picks. So one got like $30 million, the other got like $28
million.
You understand that, Skip. And so Dak says, you know what, Jerry? I tell you what I do. You want me to do what I do half? I do half. Mahomes. He's probably thinking, Skip, now 5 years, $200 million. Skip, I don't see a scenario where he comes in left. Because even if you don't say he's not as good as Mahomes, is he not half as good as Mahomes?
Okay, but just remember this: three games, he tore it up.
Yeah, but I told you
and
what.
And then
was
they
going
tore
on.
Up the deal.
Yeah.
Said let's start over. And Jerry said, okay, good luck.
Mm-hmm.
And Dak continues to bet on himself for the final 13 games of the year, and he wasn't very good. In those 13 games, my partner across the table, the Hall of Famer, Shannon Sharp, gave him seven Fs. Do you remember?
I didn't give him. He earned them.
Okay, he earned seven Fs, according to my partner.
Yeah.
At New Orleans, at Jets, Green Bay.
Skip, they lost eight games.
Okay, Buffalo, Chicago, at New England.
Oh,
I can't even say that. At Philly. He had a bum shoulder, but he stunk it up.
No, that much in the shoulder, then.
Well, he just did. And he ranked by Pro Football Focus over the last 13 games the 15th best quarterback. Well, remember, he went into the year not even making the top 100 as voted upon by the players of the National Football League. He doesn't make a Pro Bowl. He goes 8-8. He stinks it up over the last 13 games, according to you. Yeah. I thought Minnesota was great, but that's just me. But they lost. And in the end, it's hard to sell it. It's hard to say, okay, now give me 42, give me 43, give me 48 in the fifth year. It's hard to sell off last year. He bet on himself and he lost. So he early on, it was two weeks ago, he accepted the franchise tag.
Right.
I thought it was sort of a desperate PR move to say, okay, I accept what...
No, because we don't want to run the risk of y'all trying to snatch that up from up under. So
maybe.
This is what we do. We got you on the hook for 31 and a half. But let me ask you...
How did you get to be a we with Dak?
No. We in this thing together. Me, Todd, Dak, CA.
Really?
No, I ain't with CA.
Trying to destroy my salary cap.
No. Skip, but let me ask you this. Who do you think's better, Ryan Tannehill or Dak Prescott?
Oh, Dak. Clearly.
Ryan Tannehill got $91 million guaranteed with $60
million. Yep.
$60 million fully guaranteed.
What did Ryan do last year that Dak didn't do? He had a hot run into the playoffs.
Well, right? Derrick Henry say, can I get my money?
He deserves his money, too. But Ryan Tannehill played well enough for them to get three deep in the playoffs, right? Yeah. They won two playoff games.
I just imagine, you remember how good Dak looked when he was only having to throw 13, 14 passes a game? His rookie year, when Zeke was running, that offensive line was just mauling people.
Who was the offensive player of the year that year?
It was Dak. But Skip, you know. But hold on. Mm. But now you want to talk about Zeke ain't the same running back that he was his rookie year. So hold on, wait a minute. You can't have it both ways.
When they were both cooking, we cooked right into the playoffs at 13-3.
No. You was in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Zeke was cooking.
Oh,
yeah, you would need to eat a job in the kitchen and stirring the pot. That was just stirring the pot. He wasn't whipping that thing up. Mm-hmm. That was Zeke.
Mm.
But Dak deserved money.
No, you shouldn't. Aaron Rodgers, luckiest player in the history of Jerry World.
No. But Skip, you can't ask a guy to give you a discount with security when you did not give him security when he had years left on his contract. You're asking a bit much.
Okay. I'm still hoping against hope. Somehow, there's some thawing, and I don't know, deadlines, make deals, and all of a sudden they sit down one last time, they say, you know what, maybe I could compromise this much. And Jerry says, well, if you'll do that, I'll do this. And all of a sudden they say, deal.
What needs to happen in order for a deal to get done? One party needs to be willing to walk. Well, who gonna walk, Skip?
Well, you can't. He's tied to them.
No, but he said, well, I play this year under this tag.
Yeah, well, you could do that.
I play this year under this tag.
Yeah.
But just want you to know.
Okay.
I'm out.
31.4 ain't chicken
food. It is.
No. Jeez. Deadlines make deals. I'm gonna stick with that, Skip. Let's just hold on. Maybe something will get done.
Mercy.
Unfortunate news for Lakers fans. Last night, Rajon Rondo fractured his thumb during practice. The Lakers guard is expected to miss 6 to 8 weeks, according to reports. Fox Sports NBA analyst Chris Broussard is joining us now. Chris, how big of a loss is this for LeBron?
Well, I tell you what, at first, your first reaction is that it just doesn't seem to be lining up for the Lakers. I mean, Avery Bradley decides not to play. Dwight Howard goes to Orlando grudgingly, and now you got Rajon Rondo out, and playoff Rondo is real. You go back and look at some of his numbers. He's been tremendous in the playoffs. So my initial reaction was this is terrible for the Lakers. But then I began to kind of look at it closer and think about it, and it actually might be a situation that could work out for their benefit because Rondo – will be out 6 to 8 weeks. So he should be back for what? The second round, certainly the conference finals when we think they'll get the Clippers. And during that, I don't think the Lakers, even without Rondo, should lose to any of these teams they meet in the first two rounds. And this will give Alex Caruso, Quinn Cook, more time to get acclimated to playoff basketball. So when Rondo gets back, maybe those guys are playing at their premium level. And Rondo, I think, with his experience, should be able to step right in and play well. The one series that could give them problems would be Houston. If they get the Rockets in the second round, we already know the Rockets' small ball against the Lakers' size was going to be an interesting matchup. But now we know the perimeter is the Rockets' strength, and you've taken away two of the better and more experienced defenders from the Lakers in Avery Bradley and Rondo. That could, you know, the Rockets' speed and their small ball maybe now could give the Lakers more of a problem. But I think they'll survive it, still get to the Clippers in the conference finals, and then Rondo should be back by then.
I agree. But the thing is, that's concerning for me, Chris, is that you lose basically 45 minutes. You look at Avery Bradley playing 20 minutes, Rondo playing about 20 minutes. And as you mentioned, Rondo is one of the few players in NBA history that increases his points and assists come playoff time. There are very few players that can say, and his rebounding, that he increases all three areas when the playoffs are here. And we, Chris, you know he's had games in which he scored 40 points in the playoffs. He's had high team assist totals. I mean, he once had 24, 28 assists in a game, in three quarters. So we know what he represents. Is he that on-ball defender that Avery Bradley is? Patrick Beverley? No, that's not his game. But he is an old-school point guard. He gets his team in and out of plays. He can handle that. He's been there. He's been the starting point guard on a championship team. He's been on a starting point guard on a team that lost. So he's gone deep and made deep playoff runs, and he's a contributor. He understands his role. But as you mentioned, that gives Caruso, that gives Quinn Cook opportunities. I think now the signing of J.R. Smith, the signing of Deion Waiters, we're going to see those guys get more minutes, because how many more minutes can you give Danny Green, Caldwell Pope? I think you want to try to keep those guys in the mid-20s as far as minute plays. And if necessary, yeah, they could bump that up to 30. But I think this, man, but you know what? As long as we got old Gold James and AD, we're going to be all right. We all right.
May I interject to say, would both of you just stop it? I am sick and tired of both of you trying to reach and look and prod and probe for excuses for LeBron James. He doesn't need any excuses. He is the best point guard in basketball, and he just got 5 months off to refresh, to reinvigorate for a big playoff run in a bubble in Orlando. He is all in for basketball. This will have no effect. In fact, I can make the case, as I did earlier to Shannon, that Rondo can be addition by subtraction. Sometimes if you stick him in the bubble where you have to be around him 24 hours a day, he rubs everybody wrong and drives everybody crazy. See his early Motel 6 post about, how could I live in this room? Oh, stop it. We're in a pandemic. People across this country have lost jobs, Rondo, and you're stuck in the Motel 6 that does it. It looks like about a Motel 12 to me that you're stuck in right
now. Did it leave the lights on for
him? Yeah, they did. So, Chris, you have to explain to people that Rajon Rondo has been on 6 teams in 7 years for a reason. He's not that valuable. He will not defend all the time. Sometimes when he picks his spots, he can defend, or at least he can disrupt and steal the ball. Mm-hmm. Occasionally, he'll get a hot hand from three, but it's rarely that he gets hot, because mostly he's a liability of a shooter. Mostly he does what LeBron does at 6 feet, 1 inch tall. I mean, what's the problem? LeBron should be so fresh, so healthy, he can play 40-odd minutes a game from here on out, because that's what Jordan did in Chicago. The closeout game 6 at Utah, one of the great games you'll ever see a man play. He played 44 minutes and scored 45 points, including the hold the pose game winner. That's what the real GOAT did, the phony GOAT. You've got him, and he's got a co-star in Anthony Davis, who I think is really healthy, and he's always beat up. But Rondo's always hurt. Now he's broken his thumb, his forefinger, and his middle finger on his shooting hand all in the last 2 years. So, come on. And as you say, he'll probably be back for the second round. So, what's the big deal? Avery was a bigger loss than Rondo was.
Skip, I've been on TV with you long enough to know that everything you just said was to set up LeBron, to put the pressure on LeBron, mm-hmm. that if he doesn't win it, then there was no excuse. Don't tell me about Rondo. Don't tell me about Avery Bradley, all of that. And look, I mean, look, he's still got Anthony Davis. You're right. He's still got Danny Green, Dwight Howard. He's got a good roster and a good squad. But these losses are significant. And here's the other thing, Skip. I've talked to a few former players who said that as they got older, it took them longer to get going. Now, I'm not saying that'll definitely be the case with LeBron, but guys told me it would take them 20, 25 games to really get going as they got into their late 20s or early 30s. So we'll have to see, does this you know, time off help LeBron in terms of, we know he's going to be fresh, but is he rusty? Is he fresh and picks off, you know, right where he left off? Or is he rusty and it takes him a little time to get going? At his age, we'll have to wait and see about that.
I'm going to throw this stat, Chris. You're going to like, you didn't know this. LeBron James has led his team in points, rebounds, and assists 45 times in his playoff career. That's tied with Akeem, Duncan, Magic, Bird, and Jordan combined. That's why you asking this man to play 45, 46 minutes a night, and he's leading his team. Think about the names I just rolled off. He has as many games leading his teams in three categories than those Pantheon greats combined. Come on, Skip, stop playing with this man. Put some speck on his name.
But time out. I'm giving in to your phony premise that he's the GOAT. And if he's the GOAT, show me you're the GOAT. Some Rondo or Avery Bradley, they're just guys. They're just cogs.
No.
To the GOAT, it's like they're barnyard chickens and pigs to the GOAT, right? Am I right? They're just things. The GOAT will flourish without Rondo. Now, if you lose Kevin Love and Kyrie, now you're talking. Okay. Yet he had them. He had them dead to rights. Game 4, King's Palace, Cleveland, Ohio. Where are you, LeBron? You hit the wall. I don't know what happened. I guess you ran out of gas.
Skip, you know how many times in NBA history these also-rans have really been the difference. I mean, Jim Paxson, Steve Kerr hitting, you know, big shots. Even with, I mean, when Ray Allen hit the shot in Miami, he was no longer the all-star Ray Allen. He was at the end of his rope. Shane Battier against Oklahoma City. So
Robert
Horry. Players, yeah, exactly. That might maybe the greatest example. So these role players have their moments in the finals. And again, Rondo should be back by then. So if the Lakers get that far.
Okay.
I still got the Clippers. I'm just saying.
Just saying also, but what does Rondo do best? He assists at the highest level. He's fourth all time in average assists per game in the playoffs. That's what LeBron does at a much higher level. So what's the problem? What's the issue?
But LeBron can't play 48 minutes a night.
He can play 44 like Jordan did.
Yeah, Skip, that's the problem. And the problem is that when you look at LeBron in the playoffs is when he leaves the court.
Okay, what about the Caruso? That's all. I watch the local Laker games. All I hear is, Caruso, he's in.
We got to say, Caruso regular season and Caruso when the marbles are all on the table and for good. Yeah, that's a whole different ballgame. So we're going to have to see how this thing plays
maybe
out.
Maybe he'll be Paxson or Kerr.
There you go. See? No mercy.
LeBron James has decided that he will not have any social justice messages on the back of his jersey. LeBron said that he commended players who would choose to do so, but it's, quote, just something that didn't really seriously resonate with my mission, with my goal. Fox Sports NBA analyst Chris Broussard is still with us. So, Chris, I want to ask you first, what is going on here with LeBron saying no to this?
I think there are a few things. One, you notice when he gave the interview to the media in which he said he was going to wear his last name on his jersey, he had the more than an athlete hat on. And LeBron told us, everything I do is meant to, you know, for a purpose. I think him wearing that hat and then also saying in the course of that interview, look, I'm still going to speak out on these issues. He even addressed a few during that interview. So I think that shows that LeBron is still going to use this opportunity to address social justice issues, which is the most important thing. Heck, maybe it was more than an athlete that he would have put on his jersey. I think the second thing is that knowing LeBron, my view is that he does not like being dictated to. I'm not saying he can't buy into from a coach or from an authority figure, but I think his general nature is that he doesn't like being dictated to. And I think LeBron, like myself, like Mike Scott, like Jaylen Brown, like thousands, if not millions of other people, when they saw this list, they said, well, doesn't when the powers that be give you permission to put certain things on your jersey, doesn't that kind of fly in the face of the spirit of protest? You know, so it just hit me as a little odd that, okay, they're going to be limited to these 20-some-odd slogans or words that they can put on their jersey. I know the Players Association had a lot to do with it, but still, I think they did it wrong. I think the Players Association and the league should have said, look, no curse words, no profanity. But other than that, there's a deadline to let us know what you want on the back of your jersey. And because you need to, you know, have a deadline so you can put them on the jerseys. And then if they saw any words that were untoward, they could have had players change it. But you should have gone that route instead of, I think, giving guys, you know, a list of names they could use. And LeBron said it. He had thought about some things. So it's not like he's against putting a phrase on your jersey. He just didn't like the names they gave. And finally, I'm going to say this. I think the whole purpose of having the word on the back of their jersey is to be thought-provoking. So much so that the journalist after the game will ask you, well, LeBron or Rajon, why did you have this word or this phrase on your jersey? That gives you an opportunity to expound on it in the interview and maybe spark a discussion nationally about something. Whereas this list is pretty innocuous. I mean, justice, equality, respect, those aren't going to move the needle. I will say, I think if a white player like Kyle Korver is wearing Black Lives Matter, that is, you know, that's a little more powerful. But having black guys have justice and equality and things like that, I just don't. There are a lot of other things I would have liked to have seen players be able to put on their jersey.
Okay, Chris, I appreciate everything you just said, and I'm going to tell you what I told my partner across the table earlier in this show. I'm so with you about, I was stunned that the NBA, of all progressive, forward-thinking, and looking leagues, would limit the freedom of expression at a time in this country in which personalized freedom of expression is crucial to our development, to our progress along racial lines in this country. So now I'm going to speak as just a white guy, and I'm going to tell you what I think a lot of white people would think when they saw those messages. We need those messages. I don't care what Kyle Korver wears. I don't care if he wears Black Lives Matter, because you're looking at it through a different prism than I am. I care what the black stars are wearing across the backs of their jerseys. And I especially care what that man, number 23, was going to wear on the back of his, because it would have been clever and creative and powerful. And I needed to see it, and I needed all the white people to continue to see it, because we need to be bombarded with it. Our psyches, our subconscious, need to be bombarded with those slogans, those expressions, those messages to keep Black Lives Matter conversation not just going, but aflame. We need constant bombardment all through this time in this bubble in Orlando, because white people obviously look up to black stars, especially that man, LeBron James. So it crushed me to hear LeBron say, I wish I'd had some say-so. You're kidding me. It's incomprehensible. It's unimaginable that the commissioner, or maybe Chris Paul is the head of the Players Association, wouldn't just pick up the phone and say, LeBron, we need your input. What's up? You know, what are you thinking about this? I'm at a loss. I'm dumbfounded they would cut that man, who has been a trailblazer when it comes to, over the years, way before Colin Kaepernick took a knee, that man was taking a public stance on Black Lives Mattering. He helped start the movement before it was a movement. That's the man I needed to hear from. And I don't want white people to sit back and think subliminally, well, wait a second, if LeBron's not going to have a message on his back, maybe it's over now. Maybe Black Lives Movement is sort of lost its steam. Maybe it's faded. It can't fade. We've only just begun. In the history of this country, the minds and eyes and maybe even hearts of white people are as open as they've ever been. See white people joining black brothers and sisters protesting all over this country. It's unprecedented, and we need to capitalize on it. And to Shannon's point, as a black man, he's saying, I don't need more symbolic gestures, and I get that. You need results, which, by the way, was one of the expressions Jaylen Brown wanted to wear on his back, was results. Got to get them, but you got to start by bombarding the white community with messages that make them sit back and even subliminally think, oh, I'm joining this. My basketball's back. But, gee, Jaylen Brown's wearing results. Wonder what that means. Make people think. And all of a sudden, it's like LeBron's unwittingly falling back into that trap of shut up and dribble. It looks like he's just going to shut up and dribble to some white people. And obviously, that's not that narrative offends him the most deeply. So I need him to wear something. If nobody else does, he needs to. And the NBA really dropped the ball on this one by not involving that man.
Yeah, I agree, Chris. And I was talking to Skip earlier today. I was like, the NFL, when you have your cleats for cause, they ask you to get that in so they can vet the foundation, make sure that's a worthy cause, and then they'll allow you to put it on. I believe, and I guess that's what you and Skip are getting at, bet it. Okay, here, these are some of the things that we would like to have put on the back of our jersey. You can't say, okay, you could have symbols or you could have slogans on the back of your jersey, but here's the slogans that you could have on the back of your jersey. Well, what the hell is that about? You told me I could have what I wanted, and then you told me what I could choose from. It's like my grandparents would take me to the store. Okay, boy, here's a dollar, but you can only buy this. What? You gave me the dollar. Let me buy what I want to buy. And so I think, and when LeBron said, I would have liked to have some input. That's okay that I didn't. I think the thing why he didn't push back, Chris, you remember when Patrick Beverly said, LeBron says hoop, we're going to hoop. And I don't think LeBron wanted to get out, well, this was LeBron, because anything that happened in the NBA, everybody said, well, Commissioner Silver ran that by LeBron first anyway. And so I think he tries to really hide, he tries to stay in the back in the background, knowing that he has a lot, carries a lot of weight, and his words carry a lot of weight. But I'm not surprised, because I believe LeBron says, I built up equity in this game. You look at my IPS school. You look at my outspokenness on Trayvon Martin. You look at me wearing the T-shirts, I Can't Breathe. You look at the initiative that I started with voting and some of the WNBA players and some of the other players that I've got on board with this. He says, my resume when it comes to these kinds of causes is impeccable. It speaks for himself. And so I agree with you, Chris. I believe that every interview and every conversation that he has in that bubble, he's going to start as that, yes, I'm happy to be in the bubble, happy to be back with my team, but we understand what's going on outside of this bubble. There's a cause that's greater than what we're playing for in here, and we're going to see that through.
Yeah, I think both of you guys made great points. Skip, I'm looking at it as an African-American. I think some whites, though, get tired of blacks saying justice and equality. I mean, we've been pushing for these things for Dr. 400 King. Years. Right. This is not new. And the needle has not moved to the way that it needs to move. And one of the things that have been most encouraging to me in this whole movement is the number of white people who have been involved in these protests. Whites pulling down these Confederate statues. Whites in the military saying we need to change the names of these bases. Look, white people make up 72% of the population. It's rising because now, Shannon, they're including some Hispanics now as white. You notice that. So the population of whites is growing where it was down a little while, like a few years ago. But because of the population, because of the power disparity, the economic disparity, I think it is imperative that white people see white people fighting for justice and equality for blacks. Yeah, like a Kyle Korver and other people I mentioned. That's why we want to hear from Jerry Jones and these other, you know, owners. And you know, look, I think that Adam Silver, I know Adam, I know his heart, I believe. I'm sure he means well. But the optics, we're trying to eradicate white supremacy so that there is racial equality. The optics are that 29 white owners and a white commissioner gave you a list, black guys, that you can put on your jersey. That's where people are feeling like it's just symbolic. And as Shannon said, LeBron is not really about symbolism as much as he's about action. The voting rights campaign, the school, setting up his childhood friends, his, you know, his agent, and now a business mogul and Maverick Carter. So LeBron's more about action than just symbolism.
Okay, I get you about cliches on the backs of the jerseys, but then Jaylen Brown pipes up the next day and said, I had three examples. Inequality by design. That'll make white people think. Mm-hmm. Break the cycle. Love it. Or Shannon's favorite word, just results. Okay, make people think. Keep
but
the,
they didn't
the
have that option.
He didn't have it. Right. No, that's what I'm saying. And I know I think, LeBron would have come up with something that would have made all of the white people sit back and say, interesting. Keep the thought burning. Keep it progressing. Don't let it fade through the bubble time in Orlando.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think there are several things I would have, I would have liked to say reparations. Or reparations good. Now on the back of somebody's jersey, or Black Wall Street, or HBCUs.
Good.
Journalists would ask you, why'd you have HBCUs
good.
On the back of your jersey?
Love
or
it.
Why Black Wall Street? What is that? Mate, look, I don't know if it's probably too late, but the league, would they have time to rethink this? I mean, I guess the jerseys are made and everything, but this, equality, respect, I don't think that's going to move the needle.
And think about, Chris, how many more jerseys they would have sold if LeBron James has a slogan, or these guys all have slogans on the back of those jerseys, because that's gonna be a piece that's gonna be, have some. Just imagine you going to win the championship, and in the championship game, the guy that's the MVP or whomever, he has a slogan on the back of his jersey. No mercy.